Hello and welcome to GPTV on Tuesday, the 1st of June, the first day of winter. My name is Philip Kingston.
And I'm Gary Peer.
And Gary, here we go again. Just, how does that song go?
Here you come, it's Dolly Parton song, Phil, and it's not a here you go again, but it is like here we go again. We're back on the roundabout, Phil. We're back on that merry-go-round of lockdown. Don't we love this trip? I tell you one thing, we're getting used to it and we know how to work with it, Phil. I have to say that. What do you think?
There's no question, Gary. We were instructed to lock down as 11:59 on Thursday evening. So when the going gets tough, Gary, the tough get going. So we immediately sprang into action. Now, shout out to our entire administrative team, obviously together with our sales department. We've got the best people, Gary. We were able to turn around essentially 20 auctions to deliver 100% clearance on Thursday evening. And we had our auctions kick off all over the place. We did a whole lot on site. We did a whole lot of that out of our project marketing office in Balaclava Road. I don't think I got home till about 10:15. What about you?
It was a late night, Phil. Sales kept going right into the evening. And it was lots of fun, actually, really, I suppose, if you think about it, because we're selling, we're auctioning, we're on site, we're in boardrooms, we're in obviously on our site in Balaclava Road, in that very impressive centre of ours, Phil, which, you know, we never really thought that would be the auction rooms, but it ended up becoming auction rooms for us. And look, 20 out of 20, that's 100% clearance. Put the towers up because they count, and there is a 93% industry clearance. And I reckon that's probably accurate, Phil, because I think a lot of agents have done is it actually pushed off those properties that they maybe weren't confident they would sell at auction, because there was something like 1,400 or 1,500 scheduled, a second biggest weekend of the year, second biggest auction weekend of the year, Phil. But there was, lo and behold, only 370 held, of which we had probably, what, about 8% of those, I think, Phil, which is pretty scary, isn't it? Or maybe a bit less. Anyway, big week of auctions. There were some big results too. One of them through them.
The results, Gary, I don't think we can let this moment go by saying this is a non-political show, viewers, although it's been pointed out many times that Gary, the anchor of the show, is a far right supporting fascist bastard.
I'm not, by the way, but that's okay. You know, people have to say.
So politics aside, viewers, a couple of things to point out. Firstly, Victoria has done it the worst out of all the states in Australia. And, you know, there are other Labor states within the Federation that seem to have handled this lockdown in a far better way. We've got a Premier that's gone missing. Not only our contract, as somebody said to me before, our contact tracing is so bad, we can't even find the Premier. So ultimately, whether you're a Labor supporter, a Liberal supporter, a Green supporter, or you just don't choose to support anybody, I don't think that anybody can actually say in Victoria we've handled lockdown or we've handled contact tracing particularly well. So there's the first thing. The second thing is, if you had a look at yesterday's Age, now the Age newspaper has long been regarded as a newspaper that if it's going to lean to the right or the left, it's going to lean to the left. So they were scathing yesterday. There's been a report that's just been delivered by an economics organisation that have slammed Victoria as a state that is falling behind the rest of the states, economically speaking. So if you haven't seen that, you do need to look at it. I think some questions need to be asked, Gary. And I think that one of the things that I would say as a political observer is the government stay in government, political parties that stay in government too long invariably slow down. And it looks like this government is letting the state of Victoria down.
Phil, we've got, for the first time maybe, a Phil and Gary beef. I think we can put it both up, because I've got to say, here's my view, and I'm going to say, you can say whatever you like about politics, but I'm going to put politics aside, Phil, because let me tell you, it was a Liberal Premier that was making these blunders, or a Liberal government, I'd be just as scathing, I can tell you now. But this is what I put it down to. You see, we're proud Victorians, right? We grew up Victoria. Well, you actually grew up a little bit in New South Wales. You jumped across when you were a teenager. But look, as a proud Victorian with a competitive nature, Phil, I just want to win. You know, that's it. And you know, we come from a state that was the business capital, the arts and culture capital, the sporting capital of Australia. So this state of Victoria that we are proudly residents of this was the winner's state, Bill. And, you know, I don't like being beaten by New South Wales. So I'm just going to put it down that way. But it just seems and it feels like, you know, you just can't forever say that we're unlucky in Victoria. You can't have that much bad luck, Bill, because we've got the COVID sites. You know, one of our people in our office, his partner, was at the MCG, went to go and get COVID tested, waited for an hour and a half in line, and then the COVID tester got suspended. So the COVID testing has been suspended. The tracing is not right. I mean, you know, my daughter, Nina, a friend of hers went to a party in Sydney. Someone who went to the party was in touch with somebody else that was tested positive. So everyone just got shut down that was at the party. They all got isolated. They all got tested, Phil. The rest of Sydney and New South Wales just operated, Phil, because their contract tracing is so good. And we've been to Sydney. We've seen how it can work and it can run. Yet someone in Warrnambool, 2.5 hours away, Phil, 3 hours away, cannot have a funeral for their child because of the restrictions. There's people walking around in Mildura saying, what the hell's going on? They haven't had a case ever there, anywhere near there. It's just crazy. It's like a real estate agent saying, look, I stuffed up the photos. I stuffed up the open inspections. I didn't do the auction well. And I sold it less than our competitor just sold a property. But we set the goals down and we're really good. I don't think any vendor's going to buy it.
And by the way, I want your next property for sale. You can't blame me for all the mistakes of the past, even though I was the one that made the mistakes. Gary, I think if you haven't read this article in yesterday's Age, you have to read it, because ultimately questions have to be asked. I mean, ultimately, again, this is a non-political show. Well, maybe it is, maybe it's not, but a non-political show. Questions have to be asked. If this state is going backwards, and I'm very proud of Melbourne, I'm very proud of Victoria, I love Australia. If this state is going backwards, it's now been compared to the economic profile of South Australia, then we've got some serious problems. And sooner or later, this government has either got to be held accountable. Unfortunately, we don't have much of an opposition, really, given the fact that they hold few seats. The bottom line is, sooner or later, we have to ask some hard questions about what do we want for Melbourne? What do we want for the state of Victoria?
Well, we are the world's best city year in, year out, Phil. I don't think we're going to hold that anymore. And there was a great article that was written by somebody in The Australian that you might have read as well, who's just come back from being 40s overseas. He says, this is not the Melbourne that they knew, where it's become quite divisive. It's become very political, which it never really was. The biggest headline here was always about sport, not about politics. But, I just want to beat Sydney and New South Wales as a Victorian. That's the first thing, Phil. But secondly, you know, we have clients and we have, team members that support Labor. I support Carlton, right? But I'm happy to be critical of them. It's fair and reasonable to be critical of who you support.
And I think that's got to be it. I mean, ultimately, questions have to be asked, and somebody's got to take responsibility. For Molino really to come out at the press conference on Sunday attacking the federal government as though it's all their fault. Again, they may have something to do with it, but really, this is the state of the Victoria used to be the garden state. Now it's the lockdown state.
Well, how can New South Wales get it so right and us get it wrong and us just continue to make excuses and don't own it and no accountability and just say bad luck? I just don't buy it. Sorry.
Yes. Like, we used to make fun all the time of Queenslanders.
Yeah.
They should be made fun of because of slow, Gary. They're slow. Everything's so slow up there. But you know what's slow up there? The COVID virus, it's much slower up there, not like the little fast COVIDs in Victoria. I mean, the Queenslanders managed to catch the COVID virus, but the Victorians, nah, we can't do it.
Well, that's a big rant, Phil, from both of us, and we're on the same page here. We don't always agree. In fact, we often don't agree. And as I say, if you are a Labor supporter, continue to love and support Labor. I'm not saying it's an attack on Labor, but surely look at the issues that we've got here and stand up and say something about it, because we just cannot continue to just accept this situation. It's just enough. It really is. It's enough. I've had enough. And, thank goodness, Phil, that we're able to trade around and through it, notwithstanding that, you know, we've had tax on land tax and stamp duty. We haven't even talked about that sort of stuff in terms of the taxation. Okay, so be it, do that. But gee, we just cannot, you know, we just cannot.
The big winner out of this, though, Gary, has got to be Queensland, doesn't it? Because if you were on the fence about whether you wanted to stay in Melbourne or not, if you had the opportunity to relocate, if you had the opportunity to say, okay, this is where I'm going to conduct the rest of my life, you'd have to look at Queensland, wouldn't you? Fantastic climate, fantastic, now fantastic infrastructure. Why would you stay in this state if you could avoid it? And that'll be a real problem moving forward. I reckon you'll see this has always been a state of rising immigration. I reckon we may well end up being the state that provides people for other states.
Well, we hope not. Hope that's not the case, but there's plenty of people leaving. And if you talk to people in the Gold Coast, which I've been doing, and agents up there, they say people are buying property sight unseen. And there's a rush on. You can't rent anything there. There is really a big push to get over there. And look, I'm sure it will change, and I'm sure it will improve. And Victoria and Victorians are resilient people, but you know, we've got to call out the issues of what they are, because we just can't keep going on this.
A lot of people look to this show as the show that really sets the national debate. So a lot of people are now watching this show going, I hadn't thought of that. Maybe it's time to question everything that the status quo stands for.
This is a political commentary and economic commentary show disguised as a foolish real estate program.
Let's talk real estate, Gary. Let's talk real estate. One of the things that I did say, Irene said to me on Thursday, as I'm sort of trying to fight off the depression of, oh, here we go again, she says, look, you know what? I bet you will see strong bidding on all your houses on Thursday, because this will be yet another reminder that if you're wanting to trade up, now's the time to do it. And I reckon we saw that right across all of the sales, because interestingly, Thursday for us, we did sell a lot of trade up second and third homes. And gee, the bidding on these houses, Gary, I don't reckon I've seen bidding on like this for quite some time.
It's almost like there's angry bidding. That's how the Victorians are going to express their anger. I don't know who or what, but they're going to show whoever it is, them, whoever them is, that they're going to go and they're going to just buy a house or upgrade, and that's it. That's how they're going to get their passion.
I don't think it was angry bidding. I think it was frustrated bidding. It was almost like get me out of here bidding, like trade me up out of my two-bedroom apartment into something with some land and maybe a study. But I reckon that was a timely reminder for people, because the intensity of bidding on Thursday, Gary, was extraordinary. I started with a house in Cobden Street.
Oh, was it? Okay.
I think we had 16 registered buyers there. And look, the price is undisclosed, Gary, but it was sold for hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars over the reserve, bought by a local couple. Funnily enough, you've got to love this. The couple that bought Cobden Street, and a shout out to them both, because they're great people and a great family. They're literally moving 400 metres away, empty nesters, just love the area so much they couldn't bear to leave.
Yeah, isn't that great? I tell you what Thursday was, so it was the day of people just turning up on the day and buying. So this is forever interested me. I've always found it fascinating that people can go, you know, you want to go and buy a television, you go to the good guys, you go to all the different white goods stores, you think about it, you check it, you look at it, but people will come to an auction sight unseen, and for the first time they'll get there and they will buy houses. And I think that's a vote of confidence in the property market, Philip. People know what they want. They're not shy to step up and swing the bat and have a crack, Phil. That's what buyers are doing, and we saw that on Thursday. We saw lots of competition. We saw people get their act together, drop everything, and run to auctions. It was fascinating, actually. Somebody didn't even have a car. One of our auctions in Balmoral Avenue had no transport. Our sales agent, Lamore, went eagerly and enthusiastically picked the person up, drove them to the auction, helped them buy it, and lo and behold, they were the purchaser of that property. But some great results. Look, 26 Northern Avenue,
at Northern Avenue, Gary. I just want a little bit of a viewer tip. If you want a really good drink, at the moment I'm drinking hot water, boiling water, with sliced ginger and then some honey. And it's the most incredible drink. They're really good for you and really good for your throat too, viewer.
You need to have a clear throat, Phil, because, of course, you're a very busy man calling those auctions. How did it feel on the weekend not to have to be auctionless on the weekend?
Auctionless, Gary. I've got to tell you, I really don't understand how people have a weekend every week. Right. I mean, I can cope with a weekend once every lockdown. Well, mind you, that's kind of every week now, isn't it? I can cope with a weekend off occasionally, but gee, if I had to do this every weekend, I'd have to either get some hobbies or some friends, or how do people do it every five? Apparently, Gary, every 5 days, people have 2 days off in a row. It's an extraordinary concept.
Yeah, we've never really experienced, so we wouldn't know, Phil. But it was interesting on the weekend to see how the other half lived, because we're prohibited from doing opens and auctions. So I've got to tell you, walking around the local area, Caulfield Park was jam-packed. I don't know about the spacing requirements there, Phil, but it was just like a herd of people all circling around Caulfield Park, with people out in the street. I've got to say, walking around Caulfield, just smiling and saying good day to people, it's actually a really nice way to spend a weekend, although we can do that at auctions and commercialise it as well, which we usually do. But still, that's how the other half live, Phil. And let's get through some of our results, because people want to know what's happening in the world of real estate with our 100%, 20 out of 20 versus industry 93%, Phil. 100% is impressive. 26 Northern Avenue. I'm pretty sure you did that auction, Phil. Six bidders sliding it out.
Gary, we sold again. That sold for hundreds of thousands of dollars over the reserve. And that seems to be the pattern at the moment. I mean, go figure. Whoever thought we would say we've sold many properties, hundreds of thousands of dollars over reserve. Great property, though, Gary. No, really good street presence in Northern Avenue. I love that little pocket of East Brighton, a little pocket kind of bounded by Lancox Park and Hawthorne Road and the two highways. Love that pocket in there, and it always does well. And that was a really beautiful home, and shout out to the vendors who had built that. Really lovely young couple moving on.
We had a big auction the week before, a few houses away on Elizabeth Street as well, Phil, and that went for way, way more than we thought. 14 Edinburgh, well, I enjoyed auctioning that home, Philip. It was a home designed by architect Sol Saper, who you and I would remember well, and met Sol a number of times, did a great job, Sol Saper. That property sold for $2,011,000 with guys.
Real Mad Men house, that one. So if you haven't watched the series Mad Men, I suggest you do. But you should have done that auction, Gary, with a glass of whiskey in your hand and chain smoking right through the auction, because that was the era, the 1950s and the 1960s. And a nice result there too, Gary, because your son Daniel handled the sale, and my son, my son Jacob introduced the buyer. So that was a Pierre Kingston special, that one.
With the aid of Mark Kirkham, who was also on that campaign. And it was a very, very lovely home, Phil, with, terrazzo marble and that crazy slate. And, loved it. Phil's 2 Seaview Avenue.
You know, Gary, a beautiful house, but we've now cracked the $3 million mark on a number of occasions in recent times. I reckon there's a new, for all the viewers that live in South Caulfield, I think you'll all be delighted if you own a house in South Caulfield to know that we used to say that $2 to $2.5 million was the luxury end of South Caulfield. I reckon it's in 2021 that we can now say safely that the new luxury end of South Caulfield is probably $2.7, $2.8 to $3.5 million. That's the new hot zone for luxury homes. We've sold enough of them now to be able to say conclusively that if you're sitting in a beautiful newish home in Caulfield South, the chances are it's now worth between 2.7 and 3.5.
Absolutely, there's plenty of homes in that range as well. Balmoral Avenue, we talked about that, Jeremy Rosen's auction, that one. There's been a lot of results and great results, but three times still people just turned up on the day and bid and bought, which is a very, very interesting way of how people are behaving with their property. Phil, people just want to get stuck into it.
I don't know whether the price is disclosed, but let's put the house up, 171 Orong Road,
St. Yes. Sadly undisclosed, Phil. Yes, sadly undisclosed.
I won't say the price, but on the corner of Pullman Court. Shout out to both buyers and sellers there, because both really lovely families. But special shout out to the sellers who lived in that home, improved it, had a beautiful home and made it even better. They're moving overseas, and shout out to them, because it was a beautiful home and they were just so delightful to look for.
They were delightful, Phil. That was a great result. And again, great use of our rooms in Balaclava Road. in our NRC, Phil, our new residential collection center. What a great showroom that is for auction. This, who would have thought? So maybe you didn't even know what you were creating for when you spent way too much money in doing that.
Oh, Gary, I had a premonition. I just didn't know what I had a premonition of.
Fair enough. Very good. Now, Phil, lots of auctions this weekend. Shall we review them?
Well, Gary, this is let us say the caveat, viewers, to the auctions that we're about to review is that will they go ahead or won't they go ahead? Stay tuned. Stay close to your salesperson. Stay close to the to the internet. Because whether it be www.garypeer.com.au or realestate.com or domain.com, you really need to be up to speed to see whether the auctions are going ahead. And obviously, we probably won't know that for a couple of days, whether we will be Zooming them, doing them in person, or rescheduling. That is because we do reschedule a lot of auctions, viewers.
We do, but nonetheless, Phil, they are scheduled for auction this weekend, and they are properties that we are excited about and worthy of review. So let's get down and review them, shall we?
Let's do that, Gary.
Phil, no less than 28 auctions scheduled for this weekend, a very busy weekend, which will either happen or happen on Zoom or be postponed, but they're all for sale and they're all due to come up this weekend. So let's review them, Phil. On Saturday, we're in 15 different suburbs, I think it is, Philip, or 13 different suburbs. We are all over the place this Saturday, running around Melbourne like crazy people. And we've got a 10:30, Phil, triple auction action. You have the auction honours to start off with in Emma Street, 7A Emma Street, Corporate South. A great-looking property, this one, Phil. Four bedroom, three bathroom.
Very fabulous. We've sold this vendor quite a few times. Just does the most beautiful work, and what a great position Emma Street is.
Leo Samuels jumping over to Brighton East, Phil. We've got such great success in Brighton East. We love it as a suburb. 4 at 17 Roberts Court. That one goes off. Three bedroom, one bathroom at 10:30. And while he's there, I'm going to be in Malvern, Phil, doing the do in Malvern at 1231 Malvern Road, Malvern. This wonderful three bedroom property, one bathroom with two parking spaces. I'm meeting Mark Kirkham. I can't wait, Phil, to kick off my weekend at 11:30. Double auction action. We're going to be in Murrumbina Road in Murrumbina. Legal Samuel auctions this one bedroom special, Phil. It's a great apartment and should sell well. 4 Beanac Avenue, you're in Brighton East. Auction is a terrific apartment, Phil. 4 bedroom, 2 bathrooms.
Just love the location there. And Brighton East, it's just one of the standout suburbs of Melbourne.
Phil, we're going to be in Glenora Road on Saturday at 12:30. We've got one of three auctions, one at 402 Glenora Road. You're going to be auctioning this for Joel Sir. Great looking property.
Beautiful two-story town residence. It's really the size of a home, Gary. It's been beautifully renovated, virtually rebuilt in so many ways. A beautiful property, great location there.
Mark Kirkham's been handling this property in Dandenong Road, Corporate North. Leo Samuel auctions this wonderful two-bedroom property, Philip, right in the heart of Caulfield North, one at 46 Seymour Road, Elstermuk. Well, I love Elstermuk and I love Seymour Road, and I know Leon Gusenfitter has said to me there's a lot of interest in this terrific property on Seymour Road, a great address.
As there should be, Gary, because it doesn't get any better than that address.
Double auction action. We're back in Melbourne, Phil. We're crossing Dandenong Road and doing the do on Saturday. We're going to be at 1:30 in Horace Street, Melbourne. Leo Samuel auctions this terrific two-bedroom apartment together with his brother Aviv. And Phil, I'm looking forward to seeing you in Ludbrook Avenue. This is such a beautiful home, 35 Ludbrook Avenue, Caulfield South. Very excited about this one, Phil.
Well, we love Ludbrook Avenue, Gary. Started our career in many ways in Ludbrook Avenue, so we know it well, a beautiful tree-lined street, walking distance to the park and the trams.
Beautiful home, this one, Phil, not a cent to spend, and a really lovely back garden too. I've been right through that one. Looking forward to meeting you there 1:30 on Saturday. Phil, at 2:30, we have triple auction action. Jeremy Rosen's auctions in Dickens Street, this terrific property, which we're looking forward to. Nikki Janover's been handling it. Adelaide Street, McKinnon, well, that's where Simon Rodolnik meets Jan Dostin and does wonderful things in this three-bedroom, two bathroom, two parking property right in the heart of McKinnon. Phil, while that's happening in Dandenong Road, Carnegie, Dan Dyson's been handling this wonderful looking property, three bedroom, two bathroom. Graham Callum is the auctioneer. And Leo Samuel is going to be jumping out of Carnegie in his ex-hood, where he spent many of his early years working and still does plenty of selling. And that's in Woonsocket Court in St Kilda, a one bedroom property, Philip. Looking forward to that. Phil, you're going to be a busy man late in the afternoon because at 3:30 p.m., and you actually, it's interesting, we've got four auctions at 2:30, but you're not doing any of them. So you can have a warm-up, Phil, because you're going to be in Bank Street In South Melbourne, you know this property. Tell us about it, Phil, at 3:30 Saturday.
A beautiful two-story terrace home, Gary, with plenty of opportunity for off-street car parking and even a redevelopment of this property subject to council approval. It's eminently livable as it is. In fact, you could move straight in, but wait till you see what's possible on a property like that.
One of the most exciting offerings we've got on Saturday in South Melbourne. Get down there and check out Mr. Kingston & Co. With this terrific and beautiful period property. Philip, we're going to be at the same time in Rosscown Road, Carnegie. Leo Samuel is going to be auctioning for Leon this wonderful property in Carnegie, a two-bedroom, one-bathroom. And at the same time in Armidale, 3:30, Jeremy Rosens brings down the curtain on this wonderful apartment, 12 or 29. I know that block. It's a beauty. And you would remember it as well, 29 Creon Road. Dan Goodman's handling it. Phil, that's a wrap on Saturday.
And what a great way to wrap it up. You can't beat an investment opportunity in Armidale.
Phil, we've got double auction action. You are going to be the auctioneer at 10 and 10:30 and 47 Narron Road. These are terrific apartments. Tell us a little about them.
Well, Gary, it's a great building. Obviously, that location is fantastic. And it's a small boutique building. And this is a great opportunity to buy one or both.
Phil, we've got four auctions at 11:30. It's going to be prime auction time on Sunday morning. I'm going to be in Cardigan Street. Now, I know that this is a very, very affordable two-bedroom apartment. We're talking about 350 to 385 or somewhere in that sort of high threes to four range, which is good value, Phil, for this terrific apartment in a really good position. At 11:30 also, you're going to be hopping over to Boran Road, 1239 Boran Road in Caulfield, South Phil. I think you're familiar with this property.
I am, Gary. Three bedrooms, two bathrooms, lock-up garage, courtyard gardens, great entertaining zone, and a really affordable opportunity, a good way to get into the market.
When Leo Samuel auctions for Jack Slater, magic happens, Phil, and that's what's going to be happening in Mosa Road, Carnegie, this wonderful two-bedroom property with two bathrooms. Looks like it's going to be great value, and it is going up on Sunday morning. At the same time, in Cromwell Street, Caulfield North, I love the look of this property. Mark Kirkham has been handling it, and I know Jeremy Rosens is keen to auction it 11:30 on Sunday morning, this terrific town residence. Phil, 12:30, you've got the whole time slot to yourself, 26 Neerham Road. Great looking property. You do know about this one, Phil.
Harry, I do. A beautiful home, beautiful bedrooms, all with their ensuite bathrooms, incredible entertaining areas, a north-facing back garden, a swimming pool, and an alfresco area. Really, life would be pretty fabulous in any lockdown in that home.
And right at the top of Glenora Road, Phil, we've got this incredible looking property at 1A Boran Road, Caulfield. I know Maxine's been loving handling this, and you get to auction this at 1:30, this terrific two-bedroom, one bathroom, with lots of parking, Phil. Three parking spaces there, and the images on the screen, as all the properties are, Phil. 2:30, we've got triple auction action. We're going to be in St. Hubert's Road. At 10 St. Hubert's Road, the actual site, maybe even the actual apartment of my first ever auction, Phil, as you would remember.
I do remember that distinctly, Gary. I was meant to do it, but my dear father had a heart attack, and I'd drive home to Cootamundra to make sure that he was okay, and you had to step in and do your first auction. So, yes, I remember that like it was yesterday.
And thank you for your thanks to your dear old dad. He gave me my auction opportunity, but he's still kicking and going strong. Thank goodness. God bless him. All these years later, Phil, if I would have said to you that day, oh, I don't know how it's going to be for Dave. He's still kicking, playing golf. And how old is David now?
Going to be 90 this August.
August the 10th, if I'm not mistaken. Fantastic. Well, I'm looking forward to that big celebration, Phil. Let's move on from St. Hubert's Road to 266A Balaclava Road, Caulfield North, where you auction this stunning apartment, well, this penthouse style or penthouse size apartment. Tell us a little about it, Phil.
Well, Gary, it doesn't really get any better than that. So I think the photos say it all.
They do, Phil. 2 at 253 North Road, Caulfield South. Well, I'm going to have the honour of auctioning this one. Graham Callan's auctioning that one in St. Hubert's Road, if I didn't mention it, by the way. Great apartment too. But I'm auctioning this property in North Road, 2 at 353 North Road. This is a wonderful property, Phil. Four bedrooms, two bathrooms, lots of parking. Very affordable in that kind of low to mid ones. And I'm meeting Leon Guzenfinger there at 3:30. Phil, you're going to be starting to wind down the day, but you won't be winding down the auction. You'll be revving it up at 63 Olin Road in Elsternwick. What a great property. Phil, I grew up walking past this property as a little kid. I know it well. Right on the corner there of Maysbury Grove. Tell us a little bit about this wonderful property, Phil.
Gary, what a great opportunity, because that's a home that has been used in medical practice for many, many years. So subject to council approval, somebody could operate a professional practice from there, but also a beautiful existing home, great size parcel of land, and obviously goes without saying, you don't get much better position than that.
Your eighth and final auction is at 4:30, Phil. Don't know if you realise you had eight auctions on Sunday. Did you know that?
Gary, it's just warming up.
It's going to be at 3 Hart Street, a great address and a great parcel of land, Phil. Three bedrooms, one bathroom, just two car spaces. And there's so many ways you could utilise and use and enjoy this particular property and site. We're looking forward to that. I know Daniel Peer has loved handling it. And I'll look forward to seeing you at that auction, Phil, at 4:30 on Sunday, which brings down the curtain on a very big weekend, presuming we get to go out and do what we do, which we won't know probably till later in the week.
Well, Gary, let's hope that we have a very, very successful feet on ground in home auctions this weekend. So please, if you've got any sense of sniffles or a sore throat, go immediately and get tested. Gary, I'm going in to get my first AstraZeneca shot tomorrow. So I'm doing what I can. And if you haven't been vaccinated yet, you've all got to do the right thing and get vaccinated so this country can get back on its feet and we can play our role in getting the world back to where it was.
Phil, do you think that, you know, there will be special consideration given to those who have had, I mean, forget about travel, because we know that for travel, definitely, if you've had the boost and the shot, you'll get consideration. But let's just say we go into a lockdown now. If you are a person that has been vaccinated, do you get any special rights, do you think? Do you think that's going to happen if this continues on?
I don't think so in the short term, Gary, but in the medium term, most probably. I think that what we're relying on is enough of Australia's population to be vaccinated so that we get some sort of herd immunity going. But viewers, if you are tuning into the show looking for advice in the scientific area or the medical area, you've clearly clicked onto the wrong show.
You better watch something else, I think, 100% for sure. Anyway, good on you. You don't like a needle either, do you, Phil? So
I'm okay with them now. I've kind of made my peace with the injection.
Do you know, the last time I had an injection, the nurse actually tapped me on the opposite shoulder to where they were putting the needle in. It was an interesting tactic. And it was like, what are you doing? Ah, gotcha. So I thought it was pretty good because, you know, in the old days, I know that the doctors used to, you know, say it's a bumblebee, it's coming to a little sting and things. I still like that sort of show, Bill, because I don't like injections much either. But anyway, we'll get the jab and get sore.
That's a wrap on GPTV, viewers. We're into winter now. We will get out of this lockdown. We will all together move forward. But get your vaccination. Tune into GPTV every week. It's a must. It's a tonic. It's like a vaccination. I'm Philip Kingston. Have a fantastic week.
Larry Peer, the real estate market just keeps chugging along, Phil, and still strong. We'll see you next week on GPTV. Thanks for watching.